The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to this time of worship here with St. Stephen's United Church online. As you are most likely aware, we recommenced with one in-person worship service today, even as we commit to staying online. So we are very glad that you are choosing to worship this way, wherever you are and whatever your circumstances. And we are very honoured to be serving God and God's people in this way. Please join me in today's call to worship. We follow Christ, who says, "Take up your cross." We follow Christ, who bids us come and offer our lives. We follow Christ, who summons us to new life. Come, let us worship our Creator. If it helps you to create a worshipful atmosphere by lighting a candle, let's do that together now, as we remember that Jesus came into the world to enlighten all people to God's love and to light the way back into a right relationship with Him. Let us pray. In the stillness, in the silence, we attend to your presence, our God. And we feel you filling us from within, illuminating our minds, warming our hearts, stirring our spirits, strengthening our hands outstretched, transforming our lives, energizing our lives, until every fibre of our being is filled with your presence and we leap up crying, "Blessed are you, God of all life. Blessed are you who rejoices in our worship. Blessed are you who attends to the cry of the poor. Blessed are you who offers hope in the hard times. Blessed are you, our God, whose name is love, whose presence is light, whose heart is justice, whose gift is grace, whose life is hope." Let our whole being resonate in praise to you. Let every aspect of our lives show that we live for you. Praise be to you, our God, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, let us confess our faith, followed by confession of our sins. Please pray with me. We believe in God the Father, who reveals his love to us in Christ. We believe in God the Son, who pours out God's Holy Spirit on us. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who teaches us God's truth. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And to you, Holy and Gracious One, we confess the ways we have fallen short in your call for us to live as witnesses to your love and the life you offer. Forgive us the sins we have committed by thought, word, and deed. We repent of our misdoings. The remembrance of them is a grief to us. The burden of them is great. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful One, for Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Dear friends, in Christ, God's grace has come to us, unrestricted and freely given. In Christ, we are forgiven to begin again, so that we can live at peace with ourselves and with others, with God and with creation. This is the good news of our gospel. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. This morning's reading is from Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 38. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Thanks be to God.
A number of years ago, there was a movie version of Matthew's gospel that was kind of making the rounds. Somehow I found out about it and managed to get my hands on a DVD copy of that movie from a friend. At the time, I was pretty new to this faith thing, and I was hungry for anything that would help me to know not just more about Jesus, but somehow help me to know him better. And this movie sounded like it might do that. While there were parts of the movie that I have to admit were a little cheesy, I did actually quite like the way the lead actor portrayed Jesus. He wasn't just kind of one-dimensional. He laughed and he cried and he got frustrated. He was a pretty real-seeming Jesus. One of my favorite scenes actually had him kind of playfully roughhousing with the other disciples, the men who were his closest friends. And it just seemed to me that they were behaving in the way that young men often do together. It was really quite believable. Well, there is a scene from that movie that I will never, ever forget. It was the scene that actually showed Matthew's version of the part of Jesus' story that we've heard together in our reading today. Jesus is walking along with Peter and the others, and he asks them what people are thinking about him. Who are they saying he is? Well, as we heard, Peter answers. Now, as you watch the movie, until this point, we the viewers have been kind of watching this all play out as if from the sidelines. But at this point, the whole perspective shifts and the camera angle changes, and suddenly you find yourself looking directly into Jesus' face. And at that moment, as you are, and as he seems to be looking directly back at you, he says, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Now, I know this might sound weird, but in that moment, I didn't feel like I was watching a movie anymore. Suddenly, I had this strange sense that there was more going on, that somehow through the wonders of cinematography, Jesus was really looking at me, saying, "Diane, what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And I had this deep sense that my answer to that question mattered a lot, like really mattered. Well, this is actually the same scene that we have just heard about in our scripture reading today, but it's Mark's recounting of it. Jesus and his disciples have been traveling around Galilee. They've made their way a little further afield, and they're actually in the outskirts of the ancient Roman city of Caesarea Philippi. Jesus has been teaching and performing amazing miracles, feeding thousands and healing some people who had probably given up on ever being healed. And consequently, because of these amazing miracles, he was gathering quite a following of people who kind of were becoming a bit of a movement, and they wanted to make him their king. Well, it is at this point, at our reading today, that Mark's gospel actually shifts from this kind of larger telling of Jesus' more outward ministry to focus more on him preparing his disciples to carry on his mission after his crucifixion. Much of this now intensive teaching of them happens as they were traveling, and that was the case this day. We heard Mark say, "On the way." Jesus asks them what people are saying about him, and then he zeroes in on Peter and asks him, and as the Holy Spirit sometimes does for us through Scripture, he asks us that most important of questions. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? Well, we heard in our story that Peter proclaims Jesus to be the Messiah. And that truly is a high point for Peter. He gets it. He's finally seen it. Jesus is the one that God has sent to rescue them. But as quickly as that high point comes, it goes. And Jesus responds to that amazing proclamation by quickly telling them not to say anything about it to anyone else. He explains what is about to happen, his suffering and his coming death. And of course, they would have been confused and disturbed by this. Peter takes Jesus aside and tries to straighten him out, but then ends up finding himself on the receiving end of a rather pointed rebuke from Jesus. This man who they had finally recognized to be the Messiah tells them that not only is he going to suffer, but that anyone who wants to follow him must be prepared to do the same. He says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." See, it wasn't just be his disciple and follow. It was be his disciple, deny yourself, take up your own cross, and follow. He explains that the only way we will find our way to the life he offers is to do this. Well, last week, Foster had us thinking together about vocation. And in this scene, we hear Jesus clarifying his vocation. He's showing them that, yes, he is the Messiah everyone had been waiting for. But he isn't the kind of Messiah most people were expecting. And even more, he isn't the kind of Messiah most people probably wanted. That's why he keeps telling all of these people who had witnessed these miracles not to tell anyone about them. Most people wanted a triumphant hero who would arrive with an army and rescue them from the Romans. But Jesus' victory, while it would come in a very different way than that. And it would come in a way that people couldn't possibly understand yet. Jesus' vocation was to redeem and restore this world to life. But that was going to happen by him surrendering himself on a cross. Paradoxically, he would make the way for us to find the abundant life we seek. Life in all its fullness. But he would make the way for us to find that life by dying himself. Well, as we heard, Jesus, he doesn't just clarify his own vocation, although he does do that. He also calls all of us who would be his disciples to our vocation, which, as he describes it, is quite simply a reflection of his. Jesus would deny himself and take up his own cross, and we are called to do the same in a variety of ways. Even 2,000 years later, this call remains, and this call is challenging. As one of the commentaries I read puts it, to deny oneself is to actually remove oneself from consideration. And none of us do that easily, do we? Picking up a cross means more than just accepting a burden. It means being ready to put some part or maybe even all of your life on the line for the sake of Jesus' mission. And if we're honest, at times, that can be a pretty steep call. Well, as part of the Christian church, we are a community of people who gather to confess Jesus as Lord. This is who we are, and it's what we do. But today's scripture reading reminds us that this confession needs to go further than just our words. Ultimately, the truth of it is evident to Jesus and to the world in the way we live it out in our lives. Are we willing to deny ourselves? To take up our crosses, to suffer for the gospel that calls us to a life of loving God and loving others. It can be easy to say yes to that question, but in reality, it can also at times be very difficult to live out that yes. We can't just say and sing the words. We must actually, individually and collectively, embody that same kind of love that Jesus has shown us. The Danish philosopher, theologian, and ethicist Soren Kierkegaard said that you can tell Christians by their lives more than by their words. Now, don't hear him wrong. He's not saying that the words we proclaim aren't important. They are. But he is saying that when we get it right, we also proclaim those same words with our actions. And that's where it often gets challenging. It always has since the days of these earliest followers of Jesus. I think it probably in our reading took Peter about 15 seconds to find himself in trouble. So we shouldn't be surprised when we get tripped up in this. And when we do, once again, we fall back into the arms of grace that receive us and lift us up, dust us off, and encourage us to try again. That is the gift in Jesus Christ. Well, friends, in many ways, we have been living out this call to take up our crosses over these past 18 months. We have denied our deep desire to be together as we worship and grow and serve. We've taken up the cross of trying to figure out new ways to do these age-old Christian practices. And we've suffered in this because many of those new ways, while being better than nothing, are just not as good as normal, are they? But we've answered Jesus' call. And I, for one, had really hoped that we were done with that. I'd hoped that we would be gathering today with two full services and one online service. I'd hoped that those would be services of great celebration, that we were finally able to be together again, unrestricted. Services where we could rejoice that we really had made it through this 18-month wilderness journey that's become known as the COVID pandemic. I really, really wanted us to be doing that today. But we can't. It seems that we're not quite through our time in the wilderness yet. We still have a little bit more to go. And I need to be honest with you all. For me, this may be the toughest part. Mostly because I'm really ready to be done with all of this. I want this to be behind us. I don't want to put my mask back on. I don't want you even more to put your mask back on. I want to be able to see your faces. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. But here we are, gathered together in the name of Jesus, both online and in our sanctuary, doing what we do, listening together for God through our songs and prayers and through our encounters with Him in Scripture. And as we've turned to our reading that was the lectionary reading for today, what have we heard? This call, once again. This call to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses, and to follow Him in His way of love, as we love God as best we can and love our neighbors. So we can do this, folks. Jesus has promised to be with us. He's shown us His way of love, and He's given us the Holy Spirit to live within us, to help us, to counsel us, to comfort us, and to encourage us. So with God helping us, we can do this. We must do this. Right now, it is our cross, and it is our call. Amen.
Good morning. God's people are resilient, really resilient, and I just ask that you pray with me this morning for renewed and sustained hope, peace, love, and joy. Lord God of hope, we praise you. You are really awesome. All around us, you offer glimpses of your kingdom and the beauty of where we live here in Oceanside and in the kindness of those with whom we cross paths. You bring us hope, hope of renewal when we are deep into despair. You give us hope for tomorrow so we can carry on even when we're tired and empty. Even in the face of a fourth wave of this nasty virus, we have hope that everyone will pull together to reduce transmission. Our strength comes from hope. Help us, Lord, to share with others the hope which comes from abiding in you. Lord God of peace, we pray for all those who lead the nations of this world. Bring peace where there is strife. Bring peace where there is bitterness, division, and anger. We pray for peace and wisdom during this election campaign, not bitterness and anger. Help us heal our wounds and feel your peace flow through us. Thank you for holding us in your palm, for providing calm when we are uncertain and anxious. Bring peace to all our First Nations brothers and sisters during their grief. Bring peace to places of turmoil such as Afghanistan and Guinea. Help us to become agents of your peace. Lord God, show each of us how we can model peace, kindness, and understanding. Lord God of love, thank you for caring for us. Continue to open our hearts to the suffering and needs of others. We pray now for all those who are sick or grieving or unable to attend to family who are ill or dying. We pray for a permanent solution for a shelter for those without a roof to sleep under, without heat, without a reliable source of food. Give us hearts of love for those we encounter in our community and those who suffer around the world. Help us to displace hatred with kindness and love. Lord God of joy, how we welcome the opportunity to dance again, to hug, to hold, to sing. Continue to show us how to see joy and to embrace it. Fill us with joy for all the gifts you give us daily, the small things, the big things, the immense things. We give thanks for being able to cautiously gather again as families, with friends, and at church, and to travel during this summer. Show us how to share joy despite this nasty virus which seems to dominate so much of our lives. Please join me now in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you once again, St. Stephen's Congregational family, for your faithful giving to the work of this congregation and the work beyond this congregation done by our partners in the Mission and Service Fund. Please join me now and let's pray together to dedicate all of these gifts to God's purposes in this world. We bring our gifts to you, God. Here is the work of our hands. Here is the love of our hearts. Accept them and use them through Christ our Lord. Amen. A reminder this week that we have begun having an online option for worship every Sunday and an in-person option for worship each Sunday. So we again want to encourage you all to do what is best for you in this time, to pick from between those two options. But either way, we truly hope that you will decide to join with us in spirit in worship one way or the other each Sunday. So we look forward to seeing you online or in person. Thank you. Friends, go now and live before God in openness and integrity. Set your mind on the ways of God, not clinging to your own life, but taking up your own cross and following Jesus. And may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen.
If you are lonely, when you feel afraid, you're not the only, we're all the same. In need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you've got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And all the people said amen. Love never ends, and all the people said amen.